Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does. And I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Just smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to the third podcast of Team Friendship Reads the Newberries. Today, we'll be discussing the book Last Stop on Market Street by Matt De La Pena. Today, I'm joined, as always, by my two amazing co-hosts, Lauren.
Hello.
Say hello to the people. Yes, and Mandalay.
What up?
Before we get started, I thought we'd just catch up, see what's going on with you guys. What is new in the Midwest?
Well, we just got dumped on a lot of snow.
A lot of snow.
I'm kind of jealous.
You should be.
Why are you jealous?
Because we don't have any snow. We got like a light dusting last night.
Really?
And then rain today.
Oh, so you guys got rain.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind so much if the plows would come through the country roads.
Yeah, the country roads are the worst, and it's bad because we live on a country road. But, yesterday I had to go out in the afternoon when it was probably snowing its heaviest, and it actually wasn't that bad. It's just everybody else on the road is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They have no idea. It's like people forget how to drive in snow. Even though they've probably all lived here their entire life.
Probably.
And it's like the first major snowfall in, you know, in however many months. And they just have no idea how to drive. And I'm just like, so for a while there was no one around me. And that was great. It's really great when no one's around me.
That's the best.
Because either people are driving too slow or there's people that are weaving in and out, and that just makes me crazy too. So it's just crazy.
Nice.
So yeah.
So last time when we were talking, we mentioned that poor Nora was not doing well. Is she feeling better?
Yes, she's feeling much better. She's back to her normal self, and hopefully we won't get sick the rest of this winter.
Well, let's hope so.
'Cause that was not fun.
No. Poor thing. She was so sad.
Yeah.
I think she did better than I do when I get sick, though.
Really?
She was very dramatic, but I am just terrible.
Yeah.
It
was about 3 days.
I tell my mother
days.
Daily that I'm dying.
Yeah, you are dramatic.
Nice. Well, we are getting ready for all of the Christmas stuff here, so our kids have been practicing for their Christmas program. I don't have children, but the children that I'm leading have been practicing.
Very good.
I was really nervous that they weren't going to get it, but I think it's coming together. So,
yes.
Yay, children.
Yeah, I've done a few children's programs in my life, and I was just like, it's going to be cute. Parents will think it's cute
exactly.
No matter how they
exactly.
do.
Well, and we're using a backtrack, and we do have the option of piping in the recorded children's voices.
We did that when I was teaching for all of our, because it was just, it was the 3-year-olds, the 4-year-olds, and the kindergarten class. And we used the recorded kids' voices.
That might be.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Because it's like such a control freak move.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You children are disappointing me. I'm
these
using these
are not your children.
Well, we figured it helped the kids if they could hear the singing for them.
Yes.
You know,
that's
they
true.
Would just sing along. So,
yeah.
That's what we did.
Awesome. Well, I think that Christmas is going to come. It's going to be great. And everyone will just love them.
Oh, yeah.
Their own children.
Yeah.
So.
They just want to see their kids dressed up and their pretty outfits and singing and doing hand motions. Like, yes. They just take pictures and video, and it'll be cute.
Yes. So today we're talking about Last Stop on Market Street. It's 2016's Newbery winner, which may not make sense to some people because we were doing the older books and we just kind of jumped to 2016. So you want to explain kind of what we're doing now, Lauren?
Sure. So we decided we were going in order. We did The Story of Mankind and then The Voyages of Dr. Doolittle. And then the next book was The Dark Frigate, which I'm sure is very interesting. But we were just kind of getting, I don't know the right word.
Bored.
Bored.
We were bored.
And like, insert Sherlock Holmes.
I'm just looking at all of the books, you know, that we have to read, and I'm thinking,
they're intense. Oh, they're pretty intense.
Yeah. So we thought we'd switch things up a bit and sort of bounce around. So we decided to do the 2016 winner. And next month we're going to do the 2015 winner. And then after that, we'll decide where we're going to go from there. I don't know if we'll go to the middle or back to the older books and do The Dark Frigate, but we'll see. So that's what we're doing, just to keep it exciting. There's not really any reason for us to go in order. None of the books, it's not like we're reading a series of books
where
you have to know the last one to understand the next one. So we just thought we'd do whatever we felt like, because we're adults.
We should put them all in a hat, and then we can just draw at the beginning of every month.
You know, that could be a good idea.
That could go really bad, though, and we could keep picking really boring ones.
Oh, yeah. We'll see. So, yeah, that's awesome. What we're doing.
Well, should we just jump right into this awesome book?
Let's jump right in. I'm really excited about talking about this book. This book was really good. Probably my favorite one we've read so far.
Well.
Which isn't saying too much, but.
I think, Mandy, did you finish this book?
Is there a medal for me? Because I'm
so proud of you.
I finished it in about 10. It took me longer to acquire the book than it did for me to read it.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
So our book this month is Last Stop on Market Street by Matt De La Pena, and the illustrations were done by Christian Robinson. And you might say illustrations. That's because this book, this book is a picture book, and it is the second picture book to win the Newbery Medal. The first book, the only other book to have done it, was in 1982. And it's called A Visit to William Blake's Inn. And that book was written by Nancy Willard, and the illustrations were done by Alice and Martin Provenson. And it's a book of poetry. So some people are arguing that Last Stop on Market Street is technically the first true picture book to win, since A Visit to William Blake's Inn was just a collection of poems.
Scandal.
I see. So were the illustrations in that one just kind of there for,
you know, I haven't read
pretty.
It.
Like
filler.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So I haven't read it.
It doesn't actually help
it's
tell
credited
the story.
With being the first picture book to win. So we'll give it to them.
All right.
I guess.
This book also won, in addition to winning the Newbery Medal, it received a Caldecott Honor Award and the Coretta Scott King Honor Award. So the Caldecott is the award that the American Library Association gives to picture books. It goes to the most distinguished American picture book for children. So this book got an honor award. It didn't receive the actual medal, but it got an honor. And it also received the Coretta Scott King Award, which is also given by the American Library Association. It's distributed by their Ethnic and Multicultural Information Exchange Roundtable. That's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, they have a round table.
And that's,
that sounds so fun.
It's obviously named for Coretta Scott King, who was the wife of Martin Luther King Jr. And this award mm-hmm. recognizes outstanding African-American authors and illustrators and is awarded for books about the African-American experience that are written for a youth audience. So they give this award every year to an author and an illustrator. So this year's award for an illustrator went to Brian Collier, and he did the illustrations for Trombone Shorty. And the author was Rita Williams Garcia, and she wrote the book Gone Crazy in Alabama. And then they give the honor awards. And so Christian Robinson got the honor award for Last Stop on Market Street this year.
I was wondering what all the stickers were on my book.
Yeah, that's what all yes. those are, yeah. So it's pretty cool it got all those awards. When I first saw the book, I just saw Caldecott and I didn't see honor. So I was like, oh my goodness, this book got them both. It's the first book to ever do that. And then I saw honor and I'm like, oh no. So far no book has gotten them both. So maybe someday. I don't know.
Mine is also a signed copy.
Really? Which, how'd you get that?
Yeah.
Is this a signed copy?
I didn't realize it till I got it home, actually. And I was looking at all the stickers and there's a fourth sticker that says signed copy.
Is it signed by both of them?
I don't know. Are there two signatures? I think it's just one signature.
Oh,
it's,
you don't know.
It's, you know, it looks very signature-y, so I can't tell.
Okay.
I mean, it looks like maybe they just both initialed, and it is like an MDP and a, I don't know, there's an R. I don't know. It could be both of them.
It sounds like it's probably, if there's an R, it's probably both of them.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, I was like, wow, score. Neat.
Way to go.
Nice.
I didn't even mean to. That's my award for reading the book.
Yes, you got the signed copy. So proud of you. So,
cool.
Yeah, so some people were asking, why did they give the award to a picture book? Is that allowed? And it is. The Newbery Medal is just, it's the award given to the author of the most distinguished contribution to American literature for children. So it could be a picture book. It could be a chapter book. Historically, it's gone to chapter books, obviously, but picture books are definitely eligible. So there we go, guys. You got some author history, Leah?
I do. This book was super inspiring. And then when I learned about the author, it was even more inspiring. This has been such a breath of fresh air since our other books that we did. So Matt De La Pena, he was born or lived in California. He grew up in California and his father is Mexican and his mother is white. And so he grew up in a very diverse culture. His dad, he kind of has described his dad in several articles and interviews and always mentioned how all the men, his father included in his family, they were all very kind of macho men and all about manual labor and just being a man and a manly man. And so he kind of grew up in that culture. And he, I don't know, it's just so interesting. When he was in second grade, he was held back because he couldn't read. And that kind of set a mindset for him that he was not intelligent and that school was never going to be his thing. But he knew that he wanted to go to college. That was his dream, to be his first family member to go to college. And so he was talented at basketball, and that was going to be his golden ticket to be the first De La Pena to go to college. And so all through school, he just kind of had average grades, didn't really try very hard. He knew that if he put all of his energy into sports, that would get him his scholarship. And so he said it was kind of ironic that he intentionally put less effort into academics in order to get to college, which honestly, I feel that speaks a lot to our American system of education.
It really does.
Sports is definitely emphasized, and I don't know, you go overseas. I lived in Ukraine, you guys know that, but I lived in Ukraine for a couple of years, and people think it's so insane that you can get a full ride scholarship to school for sports. Yep. Like, they just think that doesn't make any sense at all. And reading his story, it definitely kind of puts a nail in that coffin.
Yeah.
So he's known for these amazing, inspiring books, but he didn't actually finish reading an entire book until college.
Mandy.
Mandy.
You have something in common with him.
De La Pena. We're friends.
That's awesome to me.
Yeah, I know, right? So when he got to college, one of his teachers, she must have seen something in him. I'm not sure. It doesn't really say what inspired her to do this, but she gave him a book and said that it made her think of him and that she would love it if he would read this book. And so he read it on a basketball trip and he finished it very quickly. And it was The Color Purple, which I've never read, but nice. I mean, they made a movie out of it. And he said that book was so inspiring to him. At the end of the book, he was like almost in tears, which he had never cried because he grew up in the Macho Man Society. Sure. And he said it left him with a feeling of hope that even in the darkest of circumstances, there was still hope. And that just totally revolutionized his life, basically. It inspired him to read and to write and kind of set him on his course to become an author. So that was inspiring to me, that he went from being held back for not being able to read, not reading books, to becoming this awesome author that's already won a Newbery Award. He's not that old. I didn't see how old he was. Kind of people stop caring about your birth and death dates when you haven't died yet.
Yeah.
it just wasn't there. It wasn't in any of the information.
He looks young. He looks to be either about our age or a little bit older or younger. I can't
tell. The other part of his story that almost brought me to tears was super inspiring. So his father, who obviously was manual labor, I believe I read at one place he may not have finished high school.
In that interview we watched, he dropped out of high school, he said.
I thought that he had said that. Okay. So Matt was home. When he was in graduate school, it said he would go home quite frequently for family dinners. And he had a book that he was reading sitting on the dining room table. And his dad, as he was getting ready to leave, his dad asked if maybe he could read that book when he finished it. And Matt said, well, I already finished it on the way here, so sure. And it totally took him by surprise. But he tried to act cool, like not scare his dad off. But it totally took him by surprise because his dad didn't read. He knew how to read, but he didn't read. And he said it took his dad like a month to finish the book. He gave it back and he asked if Matt would give him the books that he finished reading so his father could read them after Matt finished with them. And once again, Matt was really taken back by that, but he agreed. And so this kind of started his dad on this journey of learning. He ended up going back to school for his associates and then he got his bachelor's. And now he's a bilingual teacher at the same elementary school that Matt's mom teaches at. So that was so awesome to me that, like, books, they're so powerful, guys.
I know. That story was really cool to me. It's like, oh, my goodness. Like, his dad goes from being a high school dropout, you know, working. I think he said he worked at the San Francisco Zoo for, like, 25 years.
Right.
Which sounds awesome, too. I'd love to do that.
Right.
But then he ended up, you know, losing his job. He didn't really say why. Yeah. And now he's like, a school teacher, which is so, like, that's just so neat. Like, how you can inspire I love someone.
That just hit me right in the feels.
I know. I'm like tearing up here. So
I know. Well, and Matt, one of the articles I just read, Matt said that he, when he was a boy, like a teenager, every night he would lay on his back on the ground with a basketball and kind of shoot it up into the air. All of us played basketball. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those drills to practice your form. He would do that for an hour and just think about if he was achieving his goals, if he was going to get to college, what he had done that day to get him closer to going to college. And he made himself do that every night for an hour. Because he knew basketball was his key into school. His whole life has been just a struggle and a quest to kind of get out and achieve. And I think he definitely did that. And now he's inspiring so many more people to continue.
Yes.
All right. Do you have anything else, Leah?
I don't know that I was thinking about reading it, but maybe people could just look it up. There's a NPR article that we can add, and it's got a story about a boy that he met at one of his school events that was very touching. was kind of one of those quiet, bully kind of kids that never did well at school. Matt came and spoke, and at the end of his session, the boy came up to him and said, like, I've secretly been writing these stories. Would you take a look at them? And,
oh, cool.
It didn't quite have a happy ending, but it was just kind of a one of those inspiring, neat things to read. So
we'll have to put it up on the blog. Yeah, we'll have to put it up.
But so, Mandy, do you have information on the illustrator, since he also played a major role?
I do. Mr. Christian Robinson. It was actually very difficult. I had to go through articles to find, like, biography type information on him, because he doesn't have a wiki.
Come on, Christian Robinson.
So, but he does have his own, like, website, blog thing, and that is The Art of Fun.
Oh, okay. Dot com.
And he's also on Instagram, and I believe that is also The Art of Fun. That's pretty cool.
Of Fun.
But we will start, let's see here. He doesn't have a whole lot of background information other than, where did my other article go? He grew up in Los Angeles, and he studied animation at Cal Arts in Valencia, California. He graduated in 2008 and he moved to San Francisco, and he actually interned with Pixar, which is like cool to me. And his mentor had him put together, I believe, like some photos to take to like a meeting there and had him like make his own style, I guess you could say. And they went through his photos in that meeting towards the end, and they had him do a book for the retelling of Up, which is Beware of Doug, and it came out in 2009.
Oh, cool.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So this was, like, the coolest part to me. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's so cool.
After he finished his internship there, he thought everything was, you know, going to be like rainbows and butterflies, but he actually ended up spending about a year and a half, you know, working regular jobs. And I believe he had like a Craigslist and stuff that he tried to do illustrations through there. And then he got back into illustrating again. I'm trying to find...
Yeah, on that, there's an interview that we're going to kind of reference later as well, but on there they said that he's, now that he's gotten back into illustrations, he's worked with some pretty big names. I mean, I wasn't up on all of the names, but.
It seems like it. I was trying to find if there's any other highlights here. I believe he worked as an art teacher for a little while, too, during that year and a half. And I think he still goes to schools now, obviously,
right,
and speaks with children because he is a children book illustrator. So why not? So I think that's really cool. I would be, if I was a child still, that'd be awesome to me.
Yeah, that I thought that was pretty neat because they kind of tour together for this book. They toured together and spoke to kids. And that's I know that's one of, like, Matt De La Pena, he has a website, and that's one of the things he does, is he has, like, these inspirational speeches he gives to kids.
Right. And then, let's see here, it also mentions how he has said that he actually has his own ideas for stories, so it could be eventually that he will write and illustrate his own books, so.
That would totally make sense. Yeah. That's, yeah, he definitely has some stories, I think, in him.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and
that's pretty much him.
Yeah, I thought it was neat. He also said that he, like, they'll do, like, animated versions of books to put on, you know, to use either, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you guys ever watched The Reading Rainbow as a child, but they always did animated versions of books, which is, like, I mean, it's the book, and it's the same illustrations that the book uses, but they just make a move somehow. I don't know. So right.
They did that for this one.
Yeah, they and I'm pretty sure he's the one that did it. Like, he usually That's does cool. the animation, since he has his background in animation. So I thought that was neat. And I don't know if we want to talk about this now, but I'll just bring it up. And if we want to talk about it later, we can. But I thought it was cool okay. that they actually worked... Christian Robinson and Matt De La Pena actually worked together on this book. And that's not very common. Usually the author writes the words and then sends it to, I don't know, his publisher, and then they pick the illustrator, and the illustrator does the illustrations, and then they print it and publish it, and the two never meet or talk. But this was different, and we can talk about that. How they actually got connected later, I think. Okay. It's a neat story.
It is. Awesome.
All right, guys. So let's get into the book.
Yay.
So this book, Last Stop on Market Street, is, I'll just read the overview of it. It says, every Sunday after church, CJ and his grandma ride the bus across town. But today, CJ wonders why they don't own a car like his friend Colby. Why doesn't he have an iPod like the boys on the bus? How come they always have to get off in the dirty part of town? Each question is met with an encouraging answer from Grandma, who helps him see the beauty and fun in their routine and the world around them. This energetic ride through a bustling city highlights the wonderful perspective only grandparent and grandchild can share, and comes to life through Matt De La Pena's vibrant text and Christian Robinson's radiant illustrations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's spot on.
Thank you. I didn't write it. It's the So this book was so good. I just loved this book so much. So there's a few kind of main themes in this book. And one of them is seeing the world around you. I think in our culture and society today, we're all buried in our phones or in our tablets. We don't really look around at people around us. And this book definitely encourages the reader to do that. I think of when they get on the bus, CJ gets on the bus with his grandma, and you sort of notice all the people around him, and the illustrations definitely play a big part in that, and you see all the different people on the bus. There's a man with a guitar, and there's an older lady, and she's got like a jar of butterflies. And then there's a man with tattoos, which is really cool to see in an illustration. He draws them really cool. So the grandma's just, she's called Nana in the book, and she just tells CJ to look around him and notice people.
Yeah.
So what do you guys, do you have any comment on that?
I think that, it's very spot on, and I feel like it is that way because both the author and the illustrator, they both have memories of riding the bus mm-hmm. with their grandmas and the influence that they had on them. So I think it's really neat to see how they're just kind of looking around, looking out of themselves and kind of remembering what it was like. But also that they've put it into today's culture, like you said, where you see the boys with the iPad and mm-hmm. you see how this kid wants to be cool like them, but his grandma knows what the real stuff is and is teaching him to observe those around him. And like, I love how she reminds him, oh, the bus driver always gives you, you know, always does the trick for you mm-hmm. and you need to appreciate that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's so good. It's so sweet. And I don't know. I love it. I love it so much.
I think that's like the main message of this book is just to see the people around you and notice them. And I know I personally don't do that.
Right.
And I can make the excuse that it's just not my personality. I am very introverted. But yeah, I mean, look around you and notice people and celebrate the beauty in everybody, because everybody is beautiful in their own special way.
Yeah, I think it also speaks to his observation skills. Like, it seems to me that most authors are just very observant.
Yeah.
And I think he's trying to teach that to the kids, to kind of look around and pay attention. And I don't know. It reminded me of when I was a kid, my grandparents and mom, we'd go shopping and I'd sit with grandpa and just people watch. Mm-hmm. And that's such an older person thing to do.
Yeah.
But it kind of trained me as a kid to pay attention and look around. And he would point out, like, oh, look at, that person's very classy. Look how well they're holding themselves. You know, just different ways of how to, he was trying to encourage me to be, like that, to pay attention and learn more. And I really see that in this book. And I think that it is important, to have that in your life, especially as a kid. It starts you off with kind of a sensitivity to those around you.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I think it's a lot more difficult in today's day and age for kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very much so.
Sorry, I'm so quiet. This whole book has just hit me right in the feels. I keep just wanting to say crying. Something and I'm like tearing up. So.
It's okay. You know what? We're going to be real on this podcast.
Right. I know. I honestly wasn't sure. Like, just seeing the title and seeing the front cover, I wasn't sure how I was going to respond to this book. And yeah, it kind of like took, like you said, it just hit you. It hit you right there. And it's just like, oh my word.
Such a short book, man.
I know. It's got and, me in I mean, that's tears. What's so awesome, like, with picture books. Some people dismiss picture books as not being worth it to read or to even waste your time on. But there's so, I mean, this book is just such an awesome example of how a picture book can teach such powerful lessons and can be so deep, Yeah. And there's so many out there. There's so many good picture books out there that are so deep and have such powerful messages and can really, really teach children good lessons and, like, lessons on society, lessons on character, and, I mean, even academic lessons. There's so many good picture books out there that are just amazing. So I'm really excited that this got the Newbery Medal, because I think some people can dismiss picture books as not being, educational or whatever, because those are just, those are picture books. And
right. Well, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about it later, but also, I mean, this is humanity's introduction into reading.
Yeah.
I mean, you start off, this is the kid's first, look into the world, and it opens their eyes to what's around them. And I love that this does that in such a beautiful way. And even, I mean, he uses like a common vernacular. And he said he does that in most of his books, mm-hmm. De La Peña. And he says he gets a lot of flack about that. But he said, especially with this book, he wanted to convey something by using that language, because CJ would have been at his most comfortable with his grandma on this bus ride. He's in his safe place. And so in school or when speaking to other adults, maybe he, uses proper grammar, but when he's with his grandma, he's just comfortable and he's learning, and he's just going to speak how he wants to speak, what it comes out naturally, and so that's why he chose to do that in this book, because he wanted to kind of convey what the environment was, which I thought was very thoughtful.
I thought so too. I thought that was really neat, because I think we're all like that. We all talk differently in different settings.
Exactly.
And when we're with the people we're most comfortable with, I think we just kind of put our guard down and just say whatever we want to say, I mean, I definitely talk differently to different people, so.
Awesome.
Yeah. And another theme was just seeing the world around you and observing the beauty. But Nana points out to CJ that we can observe beauty in this world with more than just our eyes. Because a blind man gets on the bus and, oh, what does she say? She has a really good quote. I think it was your favorite quote,
she
Leah.
Said some people watch the world with their ears.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
I just so happened to already be on that page. Sorry, guys. Didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Yeah. She said, CJ just, and I just love, like, he just asks, how come that man can't see? And I think, like, if I were out with a child as an adult and a child that I was with said that, it's almost like, don't say that, you know, like,
exactly.
That's not,
but it's just an immediate, like,
it's such an innocent question, you know, that kids have. I mean, that's, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking that, you know, and just the way that grandma responds to him, she doesn't answer his question. She just says,
right,
some people watch the world with their ears. And then she says, and then the blind man says, and their noses too.
Yeah.
And so, and he points out, you know, that's to the Nana, he says, that's a mighty fine perfume you're wearing today. And then the Nana tells CJ to close his eyes, and the man with the guitar starts playing a song. And then the book talks about what he imagines in his head as he's listening to this music. And it says the sound gave him the feeling of magic. So I just thought that was really cool, too, that we can observe beauty in this world with more than just our eyes. There's so much beauty around us.
Yeah, and I do like, and it just kind of hit me, I like how through all of this, Nana is not dismissing him as, you know, just be quiet, kid.
Yeah.
You know, just ride on the bus, be still, be quiet, don't bother me. Like, she's being very considerate and very thoughtful with her responses and just teaching him, using every opportunity to teach him.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's a lesson to myself and just other adults. Like, when you have children around you, take those opportunities that you're presented with to teach them these things, because they might not learn them in school. You know, they're not going to learn these little nuggets of wisdom that she has for him. And I think we've all had an adult in our life, whether it's our grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or, you know, anybody that has given us, you know, little pieces of wisdom throughout our lives. And it's just been when we've been out and about experiencing life. So yeah, I love that. And then another theme toward the end of the book, when they get off on Market Street to go to the soup kitchen.
Spoiler alert.
Everybody knows.
I think they should know by now if they've been listening that we're going to talk about
that was,
what happens.
I don't know why, but that was kind of a surprise to me that they were going to the
soup. Right.
A good surprise. I thought that was really awesome.
Definitely.
But anyway, when they get off on Market Street, it's kind of, I don't want to say the bad side of town, but CJ says, these are his words, he says, how come it's always so dirty over here? And again, she doesn't answer his question. She just says, sometimes when you're surrounded by dirt, CJ, you're a better witness for what's beautiful. And she points to the sky and there's a rainbow. And it says he wonders how his Nana always found beautiful wherever, where he never even thought to look. And it's so true, like, That just is a deep thought, you know, like when things are like when you're out in the world and you see dirty things, yes, you can see the beauty better. But in life, when things are tough and you're going through difficult situations, it helps you see the beauty in your life better.
Definitely.
You definitely can take a look at your life and be thankful for the good things you have. And it's definitely a mindset shift that I think we all need to make every day, because it can be so easy to think about everything that's going wrong in your life. I think we all can tend to focus on the negative and just how it can change your day by stopping and thinking about the blessings in your life. And it might be something like, we're all alive today, you know, like
that, exactly. Like,
you know, just something simple like that, which, you know, is so, you know, we're alive, we're not sick. We may not have all the things we want, or live in a huge house or have two cars, but we have our family, you know. And like when I stop and think about that, then I realize like how good we have it, because there's so many people in this world that don't have family and don't have a warm place to stay, you know. So
yeah,
that just kind of it was convicting to me.
Well, especially so. I don't know, it's such, and I'm sure there's other countries, I can speak to America. Mm-hmm. It's such an American thing that you want to surround yourself with beautiful things.
Yeah.
You want to make your environment beautiful. I even read an article one time that said, you know, if you see something that's not attractive every day, it can really affect your mindset.
Yeah.
And I think that it can be true, you know, if that is your focus.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know. I don't want this to sound like degrading, but when we lived in Ukraine, obviously they're a country that's been through a lot, and they came through, you know, the Soviet Union, and politics aside, you know, their country has been pretty destitute for a while. And even though we lived in the capital city, it wasn't, some of the living areas were not as beautiful, you know, as, you know, a neighborhood in America might be, with all of its pretty houses and two car garages and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I found myself kind of like focusing on that a little bit. Like, our building was a little bit scary. It had graffiti. It kind of reminded me of the picture in this book. Yeah. Of the bad side. I mean, there was like graffiti everywhere, and, you know, it was very just cold and, you know, just cement and plain. But while I was there, I read, it was that Anne Voskamp's book, 1,000 Gifts, and it talks about being thankful and focusing on the good things that, you know, that are in your life, like you said. And it totally opened my eyes to see that there was true beauty there. And it wasn't necessarily the beautiful buildings, but it was these amazing people that had overcome so much.
Yeah.
And were living around me, that if I could just take my eyes up. And even in nature, I mean, we'd have beautiful snowfalls, mm-hmm. or beautiful, you know, trees that would blossom. And those things do stand out a lot more when they're surrounded by, you know, poverty or not pretty buildings. But yeah, this definitely just was such a beautiful picture that I think, especially kids that might be living in those circumstances, mm-hmm. I think this could be an encouragement to them, or kids that are living in the beautiful two-car garage house, mm-hmm. you know, that there can be beauty in other places. Mandy, do you have input on this? Can you do it without crying?
No, I'm really having a hard time. I don't know why.
This is your chance, dude. You actually read the book.
I mean, we pretty much already touched on my favorite part, which was the blind man on the bus. And, you know, her having him close his eyes and listen to the music. I just like the whole observing theme. It kept making me think of, I don't know if anyone has read Sherlock Holmes, but there's a quote about, you see, but you do not observe.
Yes.
Right. And that's what it made me think of.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of us just go through day to day, and we see, but we don't really see.
Yeah.
What's around us. It was just a good book.
It was so sweet.
Oh, yeah, it was good. And like, obviously there's a strong theme of community, especially when we get to the part where they're at the soup kitchen. CJ recognizes all these people because they come here every Sunday after church to help in the soup kitchen. So he has all these friends that come to the soup kitchen that he's gotten to know and has a relationship with in his own community. And I just thought that was really great, how anyone can give back to their community. You can be a child and give in your mm-hmm. help in your community. You can be a nana and give to your community. Exactly. You know, you don't have to have a car. You don't have to have a fancy yep. house or fancy clothes. I often think you have to have a lot of money to be able to help your community. And yeah, that helps.
Sure.
But you don't. I mean, it's just volunteering your time or yep. whatever, you know. So I just thought that's such a good message, especially for children, because I think a lot of times kids can feel like, I'm just a kid. How am I supposed to help my world, you know, my community?
Right.
And this book is just such a good encouragement for kids to help out. Even though you're young and small, you can yeah. still make a difference in the world around you.
And I liked how all throughout the book, they were engaging with their community.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, I mean, they helped their community, and I love that part.
Mm-hmm.
But even, I mean, just getting on the bus, they interact with the bus driver. They know him by name. That takes time. That takes effort.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you could live in the city and just hop on the bus and ignore the bus driver that he's even there.
Yep.
But they have made an effort to get to know him.
Yep.
You know, they make an effort to get to know the blind man. They make an effort, you know, he throws his coin that the bus driver gave him into the hat of the guitar player on mm-hmm, the bus, mm-hmm. you know, connecting with him and being generous to
yeah.
him. And like every little phase of the book, they're reaching out to people that you have to make a decision in those situations. Like, do I ignore them and stay in my safe little world, or do I like reach out
yeah.
and connect? And
all it takes is a little hello. You know,
right, exactly, like, or smile, like, or
and I don't know, for me it's I'm so scared of what I don't know. You know,
like talking to people,
exactly. Like I'm just so, like, especially like if I'm out at the grocery store or wherever, I can get really irritated with people easily,
right.
And there was this one situation that I was with my mom at the grocery store. Oh, this was like a few years ago. So I was married and out of the house. We ended up going grocery shopping together that day. And we were trying to get green peppers. And so I'm trying to find the right green pepper, because you know how it is. Sometimes you have to search for a good one, depending on what week it is at the grocery store.
Exactly.
And so we were both trying to find green peppers, and this lady behind us, I mean, you could tell by the tone of her voice that she was irritated. And it's easy to get irritated at the grocery store. But she was like, excuse me, you know, and like my first instinct was, you know, just to be like, you know, like not respond in a nice way. And my mom was just like, oh, I'm sorry. We don't need all the green peppers. And then she and the lady start talking and having this conversation. And I just stood there in awe of my mother. Yeah. Like well, my first
she's
instinct.
She's too good at that.
She is. She's so good at it. And I just, like, that just was such, like, she didn't even, like, she would, like, she wasn't, like, afterwards, like, teaching me a lesson. She
right.
taught me the lesson by being herself.
Yep.
And, like, that has just stuck with me ever since then. That she yep. she could have chosen, like, I would have just gotten out of the way and walked away. I wouldn't have said anything yeah. to the lady. But she chose to respond in a kind way. And she just totally, like, you know, like, she just made the situation, like, she took away the anger and the frustration of everybody in that group that was around
right.
us, you know. Like,
right.
that lady was so frustrated. We were so frustrated. And with my mom's mm-hmm. response, she just took that all away, and they had a conversation. I don't even know what they were talking about. It was probably
yeah.
the green
she's
peppers.
She's like that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. Anytime
yeah.
we go
yeah.
to the store,
mm-hmm.
she's going to end up having a conversation
yeah.
with someone.
Yeah. And she's been that way my
might
whole
have
life.
Irritated her.
Yeah. And she'll tell you, if you ask her, she is actually very introverted herself, but she has trained herself to show compassion and to be kind. And I think part of it is she's a nurse and has right. had to show compassion just with her job right. every day. And yeah, you can either choose to get upset at people and be irritated all day, or you can choose to respond kindly and see where that takes you. And usually, exactly. usually sure. the other person will respond kindly back. I mean, sometimes they don't, but most of the time they do. And all it takes is a smile and just a change in your tone of voice, and you could change mm-hmm. the whole situation just by that.
Yeah.
So, what were you guys' favorite quotes? I know we've kind of said some of them already. So, Leah, what was your favorite quote?
Mine, we already said. I can hear your child, Lauren. I just need to address that.
Thanks.
My favorite quotation was when they... Actually, and I just noticed this. It says, a man climbed aboard with a spotted dog. CJ gave up his seat. That is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you would know about
that. I can't.
That.
So I've lived in Kyiv, Ukraine, and now I live in New York. And giving up your seat doesn't seem like a big deal, mm-hmm. but it can be. And I've seen so many times. We had our pregnant sister-in-law here, and she was very obviously pregnant. And we had several situations where, you know, able-bodied men would feign sleep to not give up their seat for her.
That's terrible.
And kids get top priority, which sometimes I get a little frustrated with because kids don't want to be sitting down. Mm-hmm. But if a child walks on board, even like an 8 or 9 year old kid, they get a seat. Like that's just, you know, common, I don't know, transit etiquette. So CJ could have easily had a seat, but he gave up his seat for this man,
yeah,
which is awesome. And then he said, how come that man can't see? Boy, what do you know about seeing? Nana told him. Some people watch the world with their ears. And that was definitely, that was one of my favorite quotes. Was that supposed to be my favorite or was that your favorite?
Was that your favorite too, Mandy?
I liked it. I mean, yes. I guess there was other parts too. I really just liked the whole book.
Just the whole book. My favorite quote we already talked about, too, is when she says, sometimes when you're surrounded by dirt, you're a better witness for what's beautiful.
Yes, that's right. I love that one, too.
That one stuck with me a lot.
I'm sorry. I just had technical difficulties and did not hear what you said.
I said my favorite quote was when she says, sometimes when you're surrounded by dirt, you're a better witness for what's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I like the part with the... when he saw the kids with the iPod or the headphones, yes, or whatever, and he said that he wished she had one of those, and Nana said, what for? You got the real live thing sitting across from you.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask the man if he'll play us a song?
Yep. So awesome.
So let's talk about the illustrations a little bit, because they definitely play a part in telling the story, a huge part in telling the story. So in that, there's an interview that we found on YouTube. I'm trying to figure out who that lady is. Do you know who that lady is, Leah?
I don't. They were at a school, okay, and I think it was like a public broadcasting channel or something that was interviewing them.
So
it's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's on YouTube. We will definitely put a link to it in our show notes. In this interview, so Matt De La Pena and Christian Robinson are both there, and the lady points out that they had worked together on this book and how unusual that is. And so she just asked them, how did that happen? How did you guys get connected? So, Leah, did you want to talk about that?
Sure. I think the initial thing that really surprised me was that at the beginning of the interview, she mentions, or she asks, yeah, how they got connected. And he, Matt De La Pena, said he was given this guy's name, the illustrator's name. I believe they have the same agent, yes, is what they called it. And so his agent said, hey, you need to check this guy's work out. And so he was looking at some of his drawings, and he said he saw a picture of a boy and his grandma on a bus. Did we want to play that clip or just talk about it?
I might add it in post. I don't know, but I can't play it right now.
Okay. So he said he saw this picture and it really spoke to him, and he thought, you know, there really could be a story there. So obviously that is a definite inspiration for this book, which is all about a boy and his grandma on a bus. Mm-hmm. And then they talked about how they did work together, which, Lauren, you had mentioned when we were talking before that usually the author will write the book and then the illustrator will get the work. Is that how it usually works?
Yep.
But for this book, they kind of, through their agent, were able to communicate. And another one of the clips talks about how De La Pena was given a note from the illustrator that said he would like to add another animal in the story. He said, and the illustrator had mentioned that that kind of helps keep it like whimsical and fun for the kids. And so that was their inspiration for the spotted dog, which is actually a pretty prominent character in most of the story.
Yeah, I like the part. So when the man with the guitar starts playing, it says that the blind man says, to feel the magic of music, I like to close my eyes. And says, Nana closed hers too. So did CJ and the spotted dog. And it shows a picture of them all with their eyes closed. And that was really, it was really cute to see.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also the illustrator, I think his life kind of comes through in this book a little bit, because he was actually raised by his grandma.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had that wisdom given into his life from his grandma. Mm. I don't know, I was going to mention it earlier, but the author, they talked to him about his grandma, and the interviewer wanted to know if she was like Nana in this book. And he said, no, she was very quiet, but she would speak with just like a, you know, a squeeze on the leg or a pat on the back or things like that to let you know that she was caring and listening and there for you. And I did kind of see that in the book, you know, the Nana, in order to communicate with a blind man, obviously you can't read facial expressions, and she just kind of squeezes his hand. And I thought that was really kind of a sweet nod, maybe to his grandma. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And they asked Christian Robinson if he patterned the illustrations after a certain city. Matt De La Pena lives in Brooklyn. And Christian Robinson lives in California. But they both grew up, like, in L.A., right? Is that where they grew up? Or San Francisco?
Christian did. Christian grew up in L.A. I believe he lives in San Francisco now.
Yeah.
Okay, so he said for him that this, the setting of this story is L.A., I believe is what he said.
Yeah, it does have a more, like, West Coast kind of vibe.
So I thought that was cool. But he said, I mean, obviously they don't say in the book where it is.
Right.
Just so, like, no matter where you live, you can relate to it. You don't have to live in L.A. to be able to relate to this book. I thought that was cool. And I love his illustrations. I love how they're very simple illustrations. I could not draw them. I have no artistic ability. Yeah. but they just seem very simple. And I just thought, like, as a kid reading this book, you might look at this and say, oh, I could do that. I could draw that.
Oh, for
you
sure.
know, because they're very simple drawings. They're not very intricate. Very and Mandy, I don't know if you found anything in your research on how he does his illustrations. If he does watercolors or anything
I think he does a lot of stuff. I believe he mentioned mixed media, some colored pencils, stuff like that. So I think it really just, he likes to use a lot of stuff. I don't know what he used specifically for this. I probably stumbled across it at some point and I just can't remember.
In the interview, he's talked about, like, cutting things out.
Right. Mm-hmm. He likes collage because it kind of gives
and
you that definite.
And this book definitely looks like he drew something or painted something and then cut it out and then put everything together, collage-y. You know? Which a lot of, there are a few illustrators I know of that do stuff like that, where they actually cut the pictures out and then put them together. So that's really cool.
He definitely has, like, a artist fingerprint, I guess you could say, because I looked at some of his other works,
it all
just
looks
mainly the covers, and they all kind of have that same
same style,
same look, which I love. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
but
really cool, really neat,
very unique.
Yeah, I like it, and I love the diversity in the illustrations. I mean, there's so many different kinds of people, old, young, different ethnicities.
Right, different disabilities.
Yeah,
different,
like just everything, and and that's our world. That's just our world. We just live in such
a
diverse culture.
The kids always love the tattoo guy. Yeah. That's their favorite part.
Which is so cool, like, because I mean, most of us would be intimidated if we saw somebody like that.
Right.
You know, like ran into someone like that, but.
He's cool though.
Yeah, it's really cool. So let's talk about why this book won the Newbery, and you're not gonna find anywhere. At least I didn't find anywhere that's like, these are the reasons why we picked this book for the Newbery. I mean, I think I talked about this a little bit on our last episode about how the process works and how it's changed over the years. Beck. In the 1920s, they just, anybody could be on the committee and vote. It's just popular vote, and it still is popular vote, but now they have a committee of fewer people. And you have to get elected onto this committee, and I have no idea how that process works. But you can definitely look it up to find out if you're more interested. So, like, I still believe any librarian can submit a book to be chosen. So I guess throughout the year they submit the books that they think deserve this medal, and then the committee votes on it and decides which one they like best. I have no idea what books were submitted, but I did look at the books that got the honor award. So... there were three other books that got the honor award, and one of them was called The War That Saved My Life by Kimberly Brubaker Bradley, and this is a historical fiction book that's set during World War II, and it's about a little girl who lives in a one-room apartment in London, I believe, with her little brother. And her mom is very abusive towards her. She never lets her leave their apartment because she has the little girl has a twisted foot. And the mom is very humiliated by that. So she never lets her leave the apartment. Well, when everybody in London is sending their kids to the country because the war is going on, the little girl and her brother get sent to live with a lady. And... she just has a whole different experience of life. She didn't know that life could be like that, where she gets to go outside and read and do these things. And so that's just the story of this little girl and how she eventually does escape her mom. But I was like, oh, that's really... And this is a chapter book. It's a novel, so... and then another book that got the honor was called Roller Girl, and I thought this book looked fun. It's about a girl named Astrid, and she signs up for roller derby camp. She's 12 years
like
old.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, I think so. But it says 12-year-old Astrid has always done everything with her best friend Nicole, So when Astrid signs up for roller derby at camp, she assumes Nicole will too. But Nicole signs up for dance camp with a new friend instead. And so begins the toughest summer of Astrid's life. There are bumps and bruises as Astrid learns who she is without Nicole and what it takes to be a strong, tough roller girl. So that looks cute.
Aw, I want to read that.
I know, I do too. And then this last book I really want to read just based on the reviews. It's called Echo by Pam Munoz Moon. I knew I was going to mess it up. Pam Munoz Ryan. I've read another book by Pam. She wrote Esperanza Rising, which I thought had won the Newbery, but it didn't.
Didn't it?
No.
Was it an honor award?
I think it was. I don't know, though. I don't know. I really thought that she had, but I read that several years ago. Loved it. I love that book. So this book, Echo, is, I'll just read the little blurb about it. It says, lost and alone in a forbidden forest, Otto meets three mysterious sisters and suddenly finds himself entwined in a puzzling quest involving a prophecy, a promise, and a harmonica. Decades later, Frederick in Germany, Mike in Pennsylvania, and Ivy in California each in turn become interwoven when the very same harmonica lands in their lives. All the children face daunting challenges, rescuing a father, protecting a brother, holding a family together, and ultimately, pulled by the invisible thread of a destiny, their suspenseful solo stories converge in an orchestral crescendo. So I was reading some of the reviews on Goodreads. Benji gave it 5 stars, and he said this book is wonderful.
Benji. We love you, Benji.
Then we will read it.
But a lot of people recommend listening to the audio version of this book because there's music in it.
Ooh.
And they just said it helped. But yeah, so many people said they love this book. And just based on the last book I read by her, which was so well written, I kind of want to read this book. So it's called Echo.
Nice.
So those were the 3 other books that obviously Last Stop on Market Street was up against. There could have been more. So why do you guys think this book got chosen out of those 4 books that
because
I just
talked about? Because it hits ya right in the feels.
It does.
I didn't listen to it, but I saw that they had like a forum or some sort of an event, the Newbery panel or something to do with Newbery, that was discussing the need for diversity and, there's another word, I can't remember, but within their choices. And I feel like this one kind of hit every angle.
Yeah, for sure.
Today's society that we need, you know, the diversity and community and all the things we talked about. I feel like this is very, very appropriate for where kids are today.
Yeah.
And where, at least where our American culture, I mean, this is an American award. And I feel like for where America is today, this is a very good book about just coming together. And it's so appealing for kids. I mean, this is a book that I could see any of the kids in my life enjoying.
Yeah.
It's
I agree.
Well done.
Any age range, too.
Yep.
What do you think, Mandy?
Hmm.
Why do you think this book won the Newbery instead of those other books?
I feel like it was just a solid story and very very relatable, no matter which side of the spectrum you're on. How we talked about, you know, if you have everything you need and more, or you know, bare minimum. I feel like it's just something kids can relate to, and I don't know, it was just, like I said, right in the feels, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mandy's official review.
Right in the feels. Yeah, and Matt De La Pena is the first Latino to win this award.
Yes.
Which is very
way
interesting.
Way to go, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had no idea. He had no idea it was the first picture book. He had no idea it was the first. He was the first Latino. Like,
yeah.
And I don't. They didn't seem to expect this award. They were waiting to hear about the other awards.
Yeah, they were waiting.
And then Nicole came in for this award.
Yeah, and he was like, "What?" He said he thought the guy had made a mistake when he called him. He's like, well, no. So yeah, he was very like shocked and surprised. And I wanted to point out in the back of, I don't know if it's in your book, but in the back like foldy part, of the cover of the book, they, when it talks about the author bios, they both show pictures of them with their grandmas when they were little.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's so cute.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, so that's really neat, I thought. So any last thoughts on this book?
I love how the last illustrated picture in the book, there's no words, it's just kind of the, I guess, credits at the end. It's just the grandma sitting there knitting, which is a hobby I enjoy.
Yes.
And the little boy is sitting there reading a book. I just think that's so
for
perfect.
The bus.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts, Mandy?
No.
Just hit you in the feels.
Yeah, go out and grab yourself a copy and some tissues.
Exactly.
Yeah, for real. Like, yeah, I highly recommend this book to everybody and their mom and their grandma. Like, everybody. I need to read this book.
It's the holiday season, friends. Yeah. Go out and buy this book for the children or yourself.
Yeah, for real. It's a good book to have on the shelf. So since we are talking about a picture book, we thought it'd be fun to talk about our favorite picture books from our childhood. So who wants to go first?
I pick Mandy.
Mandy.
Do you remember your childhood, Mandy?
I do. When we discussed talking about this, we actually talked about how when I had to use the restroom as a child, I would literally grab like every book out of my room and take it with me to the bathroom. My mother is my witness. I had like stacks of books in the restroom with me. But the ones that I remember... Okay, the ones that I remember are the Berenstain Bears books.
Yes,
I love those. And then I figured out the other ones. I didn't know that they had like a name, but they're called the Little Critter Stories.
Oh yes, yeah, which are so good.
I think there's one called Me Too or something like that.
I remember those now. Yeah,
yeah. So those are the ones I remember from being a child on the toilet.
Yes. Very good. Leah, what was yours?
Yes. I guess I should say my mother is a kindergarten teacher, so books have been a big part of my life.
Yes.
especially as a child, especially children's books. My favorite, I think, and I tried to read it the other day when I was thinking about this to see if it had some emotional, like, inspiring ending. It does not. I like the Pokey Puppy book because I could totally relate with the poor puppy. And my mom would call me her Pokey Puppy because I'm just slow.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to read this and see, like, why I like this. It does not have an inspiring ending. Basically, she just tells the puppies to stop digging under the fence. Like, that's the end of the book. And so I think it was nice to have like a little character I could relate with. Like he was always slow and last for things. And then I also loved the Francis books. Those always had an amazing lesson to learn. My favorite or at least most memorable one is the no backsies or something where she trades her tea set with her snotty little friend and then she wants to try to get it back. I don't know. It was just, that was an inspiring book to never trade with people.
Yeah.
These are life lessons, people.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Lauren.
The Frances book I remember the most is, I think it's like her sister's birthday party. And she's jealous of her sister. Like, she feels left out because she wants a present too or something. And I forget how it ends, but it was probably cute and sweet. But that's the one that I think I've got like a Francis, like one of those big books that has several of the stories in them. I don't know what they call those.
So good.
Collection. I don't know. So yeah, I love those books. I love the little critter books. Those were so good. I had forgotten about those till you guys brought those up.
Oh, high fives
such good
to us.
Memories. those were both ones that I remember. I really liked the Amelia Bedelia books.
Oh, yes. I love those.
Yeah, those always just cracked me up. Like, just how.
She's so
like,
funny.
And it's like, as like a teacher, like as an adult now, like as a teacher, like it's got good lessons on like similes and like words that sound like other words, because she would hear the word and think one thing,
yes,
and the person talking to her was thinking another thing. So those were always really funny, and I thought it was good as a kid because most of the time, and I don't know if this just speaks to how unintelligent I was as a kid, but like whatever, like I would always think what Amelia Bedelia thought, like, you know, if they, you know, like if they told her to, oh, what was one of them, she had to clean the house and they told her to, oh, they told her to dust the furniture, and so she literally pours dust on the furniture. You know?
Oh, that Amelia Bedelia. Yeah.
You know, just things like that. Or make a jelly roll. And so she's in the kitchen with jelly rolling it across the floor. You know, things like that. Yeah. But, like, I think, like, for Christmas time, and you guys probably remember, every year at Christmas, our grandpa would always read the How the Grinch Stole Christmas to us. And that was just such a fun memory for me, and I just always looked forward to that story that he would read us. And then, of course, I like the animated version, and I really love the Jim Carrey version of it, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, that's, I just always have to watch that and read that story at Christmas time, because it just has such good memories.
It does. Good times.
Well, let's tell the people how they can get in touch with us. Leah, tell the people our email.
Our email is teamfriendshippodcast, all one word, @gmail.com.
Sorry, guys.
Did you cut out on us, Mandy?
I'm back now.
Have you returned? we're telling the people how to get in touch with us now.
Excellent.
So on Twitter, you can find us @3 Friends Podcast. @3 Friends Podcast.
Instagram, Team Friendship Podcast.
Yes.
On Facebook, we are under Team Friendship. That's two words.
And our website is teamfriendshippodcast.com. There you can find all of our episodes and all of our written book reviews, as well as a list of all the Newbery book winners, or authors, technically.
I think it would be awesome if we could hear from people. I know we have a few faithful followers, mainly family.
Yes.
But if thanks, they guys. Could let us know. Shout out to our followers. If they could let us know what their favorite picture books were from childhood, yeah. I think that would be fun to hear.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So tweet at us, comment on Facebook, or on Instagram. Those would
or
probably
do all of them.
Yeah, all of them. Just hit all the bases.
Just spend a day commenting on all our social media.
It would really like boost our like confidence a little bit too.
It would, right?
And another thing, like leave us a review if you listen to us on iTunes. Leave us a review.
Yes.
I wouldn't give us a 5-star review. But, I mean, we've only had, like, 3 episodes, so we're getting better.
You know what? It's a learning curve.
We do take constructive criticism as well.
We do. You know what? We have accepted that criticism, and we have invested in this podcast. So, Mandy and I recently purchased microphones. Lauren was already well-equipped for this. But we would purchase microphones, and we have this, like, ginormous windscreen thing. So we are official these days.
Legit.
And Leah's husband created a nice little recording studio for her.
Oh, yes. I have a well-constructed sound.
I know. I kind of want to, like, hang some shower curtains or something around my desk now. Feel left out.
Oh, my goodness. So what is our next book, Lauren? Tell the people.
So our next book that we will be reviewing is The Crossover by Kwame Alexander. And that book is about basketball. And it is written in verse. It's told from the protagonist's perspective. And he tells the story by writing poems. So I'm excited to read that book. So pick that book up and read it over Christmas. And in January, you'll be able to discuss the book with us.
I'll start working on that now. Head start.
Well, now it's time for us to say goodbye.
Aw, goodbye.
Yes, farewell, friends. Remember, no two persons ever read the same book. And if you're Mandy, you finally finished the book because it had pictures.
Oh, good, it's the microphone. It's the microphone, guys.
All right, so I'm just going to be recording from now on out. Sorry, guys. I got bumped.
It's all right. I didn't know if it was you or me because I've been having issues kind of the whole time.
Well, you cut out and just I couldn't hear you anymore, so I didn't know if
it
was me.
I was just being quiet.
Okay.
I didn't know what to do.
Okay, so I didn't hear anything you said after you talked about reading books in the toilet.
And I figured out the other ones that I figured out are
Mandy.
It's been doing it to me too. Is it good now?
What is happening?
I don't know.
We are so close.
I wonder if it's
finishing.
My mic. I wonder if it's my mic.
I don't know if it's your mic because like it'll cut out and then we'll still hear you talking and it speeds up to catch up to you.
Ooh! Sorry.
What is happening?